But this morning, we are going to be blessed with hearing a word from Pastor Tom. And if you don't know Pastor Tom, not only does he serve as an elder here at our church, but he started and runs a nonprofit counseling service, a counseling center in Surrey and Abbotsford, where he works and serves facilitating Christian counseling in this part in the Fraser Valley. He also serves in our Foursquare National family as a pastoral care coordinator, helping take care of the souls and the hearts of pastors across our country. And so that is where he gives and lives, Monday through Friday. And then we see him here on Sunday as an elder and through the week giving much support and help to me as well. And now he gets to come and share a word for us here today as well. So welcome, Pastor Tom, this morning to come and share. Take as much time as you want.
Oh, yeah. So I've got 7 pages of notes, but it's okay. It's at 18 font, so I can read it without my glasses. So don't worry about that. What I wanted to do this morning, though, is I wanted to share and maybe just kind of invite you into my devotional life. Because God speaks through our devotional time. And this is one of the things that God was kind of really speaking to me about, making your last resort your first call in 2019. I got to confess to you, a lot of times I make God my last resort. And he's really challenging me in 2019 to make him my first call. Instead of waiting until all kinds of things happen and there's all kinds of hurt and loss and unforgiveness and all that kind of stuff, to actually make God my first call in 2019. So how many thought 2018 went by really, really fast? Didn't it? How many are glad it's over? How many went through a lot of tough things in 2018? Yeah, exactly. There's so many things that have happened. It's kind of been a 50-50 year for Charlene and I. It's been tough at times. And one of my lifelong verses is Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And then verse 14 says, "I will be found of you, says the Lord." Isn't that a great promise? That we can do these things, and that God promises to be there. I was going to go into the whole background. I had 3 pages of history. Charlene said, "Absolutely not. Do not do that." But I liked that part of it. Because we have to understand what was happening here. What was happening is Judah had been under siege again by King Nebuchadnezzar to go back into Babylon. They had been rebellious. They had turned away from God. A nation that was founded on the principles and spirit of God had turned their backs on God. What does that sound like? Many nations today. And they went into exile. Now, this is 800 years after God brought them out of Egypt. They've gone back into exile, and they've forgotten what God had done in their life. How many know that we forget more than we remember? And if you look in the Old Testament, how many times does God say, "Remember when? Remember when? Remember when? Remember when I brought you out of Egypt? Remember when I swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh? Remember when I provided for you in the wilderness water and manna and all these things?" I want you to stop for a second and remember when God did those things in your life. When did he show up in your life? Because I'm here to say that there is a thread of faithfulness that God has sown through the fabric of our lives. And we don't want to forget those things, even the small things that God did. I remember when I was 19, and I was a pastor's kid, and unfortunately through my teen years, I mean, I had some, you know, I'm going to call it some parallel living going on I wasn't good enough for the church, and I wasn't bad enough for the world. I call it my zombie life. I was kind of in between. It was a horrible, horrible place to be. And I remember at 19, I was sitting there calling into, anybody remember the radio station C-Fun? Right? I'm calling into C-Fun, right? And I'm asking for my favorite songs to be played. I'm living in a basement suite all by myself. I had a bottle of I don't know what beside me. And I cried out to God, and I said, I need a friend. And literally, without a word of a lie, 20 seconds to 30 seconds later, the phone rang. Home phone, by the way. We didn't have cell phones back then. And the home phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was a young guy from our church. He was 16, and he said, I was just praying, and God said, you need a friend. And he turned out to be my best man in my wedding. God used this 16-year-old to step into my life and walk alongside of me. That is faithfulness. And God says, I have plans for you. He's got plans for each and every one of us in our lives. And that's the faithfulness of God. Now, the plans might not look like the way you want them to look. It might not even show up in the time you want it to show up. But the fact is, God does have plans. And even though Judah had been taken into exile and these people lost everything, their homes, their families, their businesses, their possessions, everything was gone. They lost their freedom. And yet, those two words are very important. And yet, God was faithful. And yet, God had promises for them. And yet God was promising to walk with them and never abandon them and give them a future full of hope. Who needs a future full of hope? Right. We need a future full of hope. Totally off my notes right now, but that's fine. God is faithful. Charlene, who was, she's a retired police officer. I remember one night that she came home and told me a story that she was on a call, and it was a side, you had pulled over a vehicle, and there was conversation going on with this person, and God spoke to her and said, you're not safe. And right away, Charlene saw a car coming, and she jumped out of the way over this cement embankment. And this car slammed into the police car and slammed it into another car. If Charlene had not heard that and had not heeded to that voice, she would not be here tonight. Or her legs would have been taken off. God is faithful. Those are the things that we don't want to minimize. God speaks to us and we want to hear his voice. So verse 11, God's faithfulness in spite of ourselves. It's really trusting in his plan. So I wanted to paraphrase that verse. God is really saying, I know what I'm doing. Do we believe that? I really know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Have you ever made plans with someone, and then you're sitting at the coffee shop, and you're wondering where they are, and they're at another coffee shop? Has that ever happened? Okay. Or you're sitting at a restaurant, and you're waiting for somebody to show up, and then they're not there, and you've ordered a coffee, and then you phone them, and they said, oh, I thought it was tomorrow, or next week, so now your day's completely messed up, right? Well, God doesn't do that. God doesn't show up. You know, he's never in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's always in the right place at the right time. So what stops us from trusting in God's plan? Well, one of the things I believe is the enemy. The enemy doesn't actually want us to believe that God has a plan for us. He certainly doesn't want us to trust that plan. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to question that plan. God, why would you do this? Why would you do that? Why would you do the other thing? And how many times do we know that sometimes God doesn't answer that question? Correct? Right. So we end up just constantly going through the wheel of asking this question in God, doesn't it? Let me encourage you, maybe you want to stop asking that question and just begin to trust. The other thing is, maybe God's plan doesn't make sense. Does God ever talk to you and ask you to do something that may not make sense? How about God's plan takes us out of our comfort zone and out of our little security blanket? Like if you're standing in the lineup at Starbucks and God says, why don't you pray for this person? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, why don't you go and talk to that person that's standing over here? And sometimes God wants us to get out of our comfort zone, out of that security area, and actually stretch us a little bit. There was a story I was heard from a pastor that he used to go into Starbucks all the time, and the Starbucks was attached to the Chapters store. And as he was going into the Starbucks, he always saw this one guy sitting outside. He was like a regular. He was there all the time. And God spoke to him and said, why don't you buy a world atlas and give it to this guy? Made no sense. Who buys world atlases now? I mean, seriously. He had a hard time finding it, actually, in Chapters. But the fact is, he kept going by this guy, and God kept speaking to him, and he just brushed it off. That's weird. Why would I do that? And it just got stronger, and it got stronger, and it got stronger until he finally, after weeks, he couldn't stand it anymore. He went and bought it, put it in the bag, walked out to the guy, and he handed it to him. And he said, I don't know what to say about this, but I was really impressed to buy this world atlas for you and give it to you. The guy immediately broke down in tears because he was praying, God, if you're real, somebody would come and bring me a world atlas. Random. Try and figure it out. I mean, you cannot connect those dots. So sometimes God's plans don't make sense. Don't try and figure it all out. This guy was waiting for somebody to bring that to him to prove that God was real. And he miraculously, wonderfully got saved. And how many know that God's plans take time? We're not very patient. And yet God's plans are not instant. We want instant, but God's plans aren't instant. There's a word that God spoke over Charlene and I in 1989. Okay, that's well over 20 years. That word is just being fulfilled in our life right now in the last few years. So it's taken some time to be fulfilled. So don't rush the process. Let God do what he's going to do. A plan, the definition of plan, is a proposed or intended course of action, step-by-step conception for accomplishing an objective or a purpose. So whose objective or purpose are we to accomplish? Whose is it? Thank you. Somebody? Yeah. It is God's objective or purpose that we are to accomplish. Turn to somebody, turn to a neighbor and say, I'm here to accomplish God's purposes. Go ahead. Okay. I just wanted that to sink in. So what is his purpose for your life? Ask yourself that question. What is his purpose for your life? We have general purposes. All of us, we are called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are called to witness and to share the gospel. That's a purpose we all have. But then we have very specific purposes as well. God has given people in here talents, abilities, skills, gifts that I don't have, but you have. So we are then commissioned to live those out. Some people are called to be a fantastic parent and to raise godly children. Some people are called to start a charity and work out that charity. Some people are called to actually make a lot of money and bless the kingdom. Some people are called to be pastors. We all have something that we are called to do. What is that? Find out what that purpose is. But you know, for me, I really wanted to focus in on verses 12 and 13, because what I found interesting is both of those verses started with the word then. The word then is an adverb. What comes next? Next in the order of time, and this I really liked, a necessary end result. So, everything that the children of Israel had gone through in Judah, and they went into captivity, and then God says, well, don't worry. What I really want you to do is I want you to bloom where you're planted. I want you to put down roots, because I have a plan for you. I'm going to roll out the blueprint, and then I'm going to tell you what that plan looks like, right? Now, Josh, do you ever do a plan up on a napkin and go, oh, yeah, we can do that, right? But you need a plan. We need to have something written down. It's something to look at. God wants to roll that plan out to us so that it's a necessary end result. So I want to paraphrase these two verses as well in my own language. Then you will call on me. When you come and pray to me, the promise is I will listen. Then you will come looking for me and you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want me more than anything else in your life, I will make sure that I'm there for you. Kind of what Pastor Clint was talking about, I could relate to being a little spiritually dehydrated in certain areas of my life. And for me, my prayer was, just make me consistent. I just want to be consistent in my walk with you. I have great times with God. I just want them to be more than once a week or more than once a month. And so that was my prayer, that I would be consistent and that I wouldn't be dehydrated because of that. So what makes it so hard for God to be, well, my first call or your first call? What makes that so hard? Well, for some of us, maybe it's our need to control the circumstances. Who is a control freak here? Come on, seriously, all right. We want to control the circumstance, we want to control the people, we want to control the outcome. How many know that's exhausting? It's exhausting. So God is saying, let go of that. Call me first. What about we are inherently self-reliant in this North American culture, right? We like to, I can take care of this. What it creates is really an independence away from God. It creates an isolation, and it creates, to me, a loneliness, because I don't really need anybody. I'm okay on my own, but we're not okay on our own. We're really called to live life together as a family. I can't do it without you, and you can't do it without me. And what about we may not really believe that God knows what's going on down here? Maybe we need to fill him in. Maybe we need to let him know, look, you don't know, God, how hard it is. But let me reassure you, God knows how hard it is. And so what that can do sometimes is can produce a little bit of pride that we know what's going on. We know better about what's going on than God does. So in 2018, what has God been tapping you on the shoulder about? What's he been trying to get your attention? What's he doing to try and get your attention? Well, I'm going to be, again, honest with you, because this is my devotional life. A while ago, I preached at Hope for Freedom. And I preached about Job. And I don't know, I like the story of Job. And anyway, one of the things that I really enjoyed about Job's story is right at the beginning of chapter 1, he would sacrifice for his kids. So if his kids went and did something wrong, he would go out and he would sacrifice and he would say, God, would you use this sacrifice as a way to forgive them for what they've done? And then God really spoke to me and said, would you do that for your kids? Would you stand in the gap for your kids? Would you spend time intervening and intercessing for your kids? And of course, I'll start that. But again, my consistency wasn't solid. So in 2019, I'm making a commitment that I am going to put my kids on the altar, and I'm going to intercede for them, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to ask God, would you be with them? And that's going to be my commitment as I go through. So what is God tapping you on the shoulder about? And in what ways in 2019 can you make your relationship with God different? Can it be more deeper and more meaningful than what you had in 2018? Because we don't have to settle for whatever we had in 2018. These free gifts are fantastic. They're ways for us to be reminded and to build on whatever God is a foundation right now. So we have an opportunity to be a blessing. We have an opportunity to put our roots down. We have an opportunity not to just settle for what 2018 gave us, but something new and greater in 2019. I'm not a big kind of themes person at all. I know a lot of people come up to, you know, it's 2019, I've got a word, you know, one word. I've never done that, except for now. I know. Weird. It's God's plan. I'm not trying to figure it out. But the word was change, and it's been in my head for the last 3 or 4 months. I know that 2019 is going to be a year of change. I don't know all the change. I'm not quite sure what that change is even going to look like, but I know it's coming. And so I want God to be my first call when that change happens. And so if he's going to be my first call, I want to wake up in the morning and go, okay, God, what do you have for me today? I want to be attentive. I don't want to miss anything that you're going to bring across my path. What have you got for me today? Because truly, we all have something in our hands that we can give. We all have something in our hands that God wants to use. So if you ask him on a daily basis, God, what have you got for me? Then when you're standing in the lineup at Starbucks and God nudges you to talk to that person, maybe you're not going to be as afraid. Maybe you're not going to be as nervous. Maybe you're going to have an incredible testimony. You won't believe what God did in this person's life this week. And how exciting would that be if that's your testimony and that's God's plan for your life? Every single one of us can pray for somebody, can't we? We can all do that. It's not up to Pastor Clint and Pastor Renee, Pastor Tom. What can we do for God? It's like in Isaiah 6, you know, when Isaiah was actually stood in front of an amazing living God, he said, I'm undone. But then God said, who is going to go for me? Who is going to do these things? And Isaiah put up his hand and said, I will. I will be that person. So are we willing to do that? To end 2018 and start 2019 by I'm going to be that person. I put up my hand. Instead of God constantly tapping me on the shoulder, I'm actually going to do it this year and see what God can do, because he has incredible plans for us. And out of those plans, then the result is that we're going to pray. We're going to spend time with him. We're going to get unplugged. What does it mean to have Sabbath? What does it mean to have quiet time? And what does it mean to then build that strong relationship with the Lord? It means something different to you than it does to me. But what is God calling you to do? What is he tapping you on the shoulder so that he becomes your first call instead of your last resort? Amen? Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just... We really ask that 2019 be different, that we're not going to live our way, we're going to live your way. Not because we're trying to get more love from you, that we want things from you, but it's because you do actually love us so much. You've provided everything. You are our source. We can go to you. We know that your promise right here, your plan for us, is that when we do spend time with you, when we do show up, you will be there. That's the promise, that you will breathe life into us, that you will, if we have dry and barren souls this year, Lord, that you will come and fill us and not leave us like that. Even if our situations or circumstances don't change, that I will turn to you first. I will be there and call on you first. There's never a busy signal. There's never a time when you don't pick up. You are always there. That we will spend time with you, that we will put time aside in these journals and God, to get into your word, Father, to have you speak to us and to have you refresh our spirits, to get to know you and not just what you can do, that we have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with you in 2019. And whatever you are asking us to do, would we drop everything and do it? Would we have incredible testimonies of what you've done in 2019 and how you've showed up? And yes, I was nervous. And yes, I felt uncomfortable. And yes, I was out of my comfort zone, but you were there. And because of that, I was fearless. So yes, Lord, you have plans for us. And they are good. They are not evil. And they are full of hope. And may we spend that kind of time with you. May we be intentional with you. And out of that, be full to overflowing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.